welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from Seishun Academy, I'll be your chair umpire, Dave Trumbore. To my left, my co-host, he loves to deuce, it's Sean Paul Ellis. How's it going, buddy?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself,
bud? Doing pretty good, man. Looking forward to it. Also good, joining good. Us for the show, he would never make a backhanded compliment, it's Matt Barron.
Dude, that was terrible, but I am doing great.
Glad to hear it. Yeah, I tried to work in some tennis puns, because it took them about 30 seconds before they got one on this show. So I figured,
well,
why
Dave,
not?
Well, Dave, I love your tennis pun.
Yeah, I already said love. So.
Oh, boy. Wait, we're not even 30 seconds into this. Have we run out of tennis
puns? I ran through them all. I tried to get them out of the way just as quickly as possible.
Oh, be girly. Well, that's good. Well, this has been a great episode so far.
I almost said up to par, but that is not even the same sport. It's not even the same sport. I'm curious to know how much Sean learned about tennis in this series, actually, because each and every episode does tell the kids at home what's going on in the game of tennis and how to play and how to keep score and all kinds of fun stuff. So if you don't know anything about tennis, you should probably check out The Prince of Tennis, which is what we'll be talking about tonight. And to tell us more about the history of this show, I will turn it back over to Sean.
So, The Prince of Tennis was originally a Japanese manga series about a tennis prodigy written, illustrated by Takashi Komoni?
Close enough.
Okay. The title is shortened to Tennipuri.
I'm throwing lots of words at you tonight.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
All good.
So it's an amalgam of the word, the pronunciations of the words tennis prince. In the manga, there were a total of 379 chapters. I believe it was in Shonen Jump,
yeah,
correct?
Correct.
Yes. So, and this spanned, these chapters spanned over 42 different volumes. As of volume 42, the manga had sold 40 million copies in Japan. This was a pretty popular series, so... there is a new manga series that's out that is The New Prince of Tennis, which has gotten into serialization. If you're interested in actually watching the episodes that they have, whether they are subbed or dubbed, Viz Media has acquired the ability to be able to distribute those in the U.S., and they are available on Hulu.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they are.
How about that?
Nice. Yeah.
I had no clue. So, I'm sitting here looking up bootleg stuff and... There it is, a pristine copy, but just ready and waiting for me in my paid subscription to Hulu.
Yeah, there's like 50-something episodes that are available on Hulu, so I took advantage of my subscription and got into it. So the anime aired in Japan from October 10, 2001 to March 30th, 2005, spanning a total of 178 episodes, and as well as there was a theatrical movie, which, oh man, to
Did
be...
you watch it?
To be at premiere night for the
Prince of Tennis
for the Prince of Tennis theatrical release. Can you imagine?
I hope it wasn't a red carpet. I hope it was just a green court with just a net running down the middle of it to like separate you from the press,
from the screen,
from the screen and the press. Either one.
I would love it if they just if they showed it sort of like a screen on the green.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that
type
screen
of
on the
scenario.
Green.
Yeah. And so they did something like that where they actually showed it on a tennis court.
Well, look, man, this one is still really popular apparently over in Japan. You know, they did a few polls over the years to say, like, you know, what are the top 100 favorite anime series of all time? And this one consistently ranked within the top 20 or top 30. And we'll get into why that's kind of surprising. Because when you think anime, when you think Japan in general, you don't really think... toned down almost to the level of being a drama about kids playing tennis. Like, for a while, at least in the beginning, there's nothing crazy going on. It's just kind of like a really good tennis player. So,
yeah.
We'll get into it. But, yeah. So, kind of surprising that it's still that popular, but pretty cool.
Well, you had asked earlier in the episode about what I learned about tennis.
Yes.
Did either Matt play tennis?
I did not. Well, I've played one game of tennis in my life, and it went real, real bad. So,
to be a fly on the wall for that one.
Oh man, you would have been in danger of getting crushed by an errant tennis ball. But So yeah, I have played tennis.
Give me a time frame here. Are we talking like 5-year-old Baron, 25-year-old Baron?
No, it was like 17.
Oh, okay, so high school age. Okay.
All right, Dave, did you ever play tennis?
Man, I played for like one summer. I did like a summer camp that was local for like, yeah, just one summer. When I was probably 10 or 12, somewhere around there. So around this kid's age. Did not continue after that. I enjoyed it. Thought it was fun. I don't know. Probably started too late.
That's exactly the same experience I had. I played like a summer tennis clinic for several weeks. My dad enjoyed the game, and so he set out to teach my sister and I how to play. And I think it became very apparent after a couple lessons from him that our attention spans just weren't going to really cut it. I mean, you know, you figure you're 10, 11, 12 years old. You know, your biggest concern is not necessarily at that point tennis. And I've said this before with some of our previous cartoons that we've had, like Mighty Ducks last week. The ability to focus in on one thing for that person, it feels so rewarding. And I'm continually jealous of people who are just like, look, I got to play this thing. This is the only thing that matters to me in my life. I don't really care about anything else. I wish I had that level of focus.
Well, look, it seems to me like tennis seems to me like one of those sports where it's just you're either in it 100% and you're committed to being like the best or as best as you can be, or you're just not doing it at all. Because it doesn't seem like one of those things you kind of just like play recreationally. It's not like a thing you get together with your buddies on the street and just be like, hey, let's get a group together and go play tennis. You know, it's like, you can't just go down to the park or an open field
the roaming
and play football.
Street tennis gangs.
Yeah, the street tennis gangs from Warriors. It's just not one of those things. It's a very individualized sport. It's very much a one-on-one. So each of those kind of like alpha athletes is trying to be the best that they can be. It doesn't strike me as recreational.
Really? No pickup games of tennis ever?
I mean, I used to, when I was playing in that summer, there wasn't anybody else around that was just like, yeah, I totally play tennis and we'll play with you and help your game. No, so it was a wall, you know, it was that old, you get a canister of the tennis balls, you get your racket and you just go find a wall somewhere and just practice your serve and you practice, you know, returns and all that. So it's just a strange kind of like individualized sport that I just never really clicked with me, but
Well, I will say this because I know that we all had the same access
to walls.
Okay. we're all familiar with walls and buildings and structures.
I learned about doors a few weeks ago on this very show.
Nice.
It was amazing. Yeah, that was good. It pretty much blew his mind.
That's a good one.
To be that young and innocent.
It's an educational experience here. Yeah.
Well, isn't Dave like 2 years younger than you?
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
A lot can happen
still
in
younger,
those 2 years.
Still younger, still innocent. Yeah. Still,
a lot can happen. Today it's doors, tomorrow who knows.
When I look into Dave's eyes, I see the glimmer and hope of you.
And just slowly burning away year by year.
Just
being snuffed out on a daily basis.
just being snuffed out.
Now, I will say this. I know that we all had access to play racquetball when we were in college together.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play racquetball?
No, it seemed it seemed crazy to me. It seemed like tennis. Like, hey, if you don't like tennis, then you're going to fucking loathe racquetball because it's like tennis turned up to 11 and you can get murdered. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just never seemed.
It's great.
Sean, you and I actually played racquetball several times together.
Yeah, we did. Murder Tennis is a
murder
great
tennis.
Experience.
Now, I
would have
watched
tennis
that anime.
A great experience.
And that is the anime I thought we were watching. It was like just robot murder tennis, but that's not what we
thank
got.
Thank you.
And that was before the days of Metalocalypse, so.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yes, right. Matt and I played racquetball during a summer. I believe the summer prior to us playing, I played a friend of mine named Adam. And we played several times a week for 3 or 4 months, and he beat me every single time we played.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. It's not like a friendly thing. It's just like you're out to be the best, even if it's just.
I know,
than
but
the next
I
guy.
Was
yeah.
I was inspired to continue to play because I really wanted to beat him so bad. Yeah. Second summer that we played, which is I think when I started playing with Baron, I began crushing Adam, and so it was rather rewarding.
Take that, Adam.
And actually, what was the
take that, Adam?
When we played at Peterson, the Peterson Wii, you know, at least you walked in on ground level into kind of a glass enclosure and it looked good. When we played up in trees, you had to,
the dungeon.
You had to get trees down into this pit on like a rickety extension ladder that was suspended by a rope you like lowered yourself down into. It was probably the closest thing to like, you know, Thunderdome I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah, that was the best because I loved playing in trees because of that exact feeling that once you got to the bottom, there felt like there was no way out. It really felt like two men enter, one man leaves. Yeah.
A brief point of reference for anyone not familiar with the University of Pittsburgh athletic system, trees, as Baron and Sean have mentioned, is actually an athletic facility. They are not actually playing racquetball in trees.
Yeah.
No, it was like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, jumping trees.
It is an athletic center comprised of mostly poured concrete and lead-based paint.
So there's a real psychedelic experience to play in there. It's good times.
It was awesome.
But the Prince of Tennis is not about either psychedelics or racquetball. It is about tennis. And to tell us a little bit more about it, we're going to turn it over to Matt.
Okay, so the series is primarily set in Tokyo, and the protagonist slash main character is Ryoma Echizen, who is a tennis prodigy. And he attends the, and I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly, Saishun Academy, which is a private school that's well known for its tennis program and its talented players. Ryoma quickly defeats pretty much all the upperclassmen shortly after starting, secures himself a spot on one of the team's regular players. And in the pursuit of the ultimate goal of winning the National Middle School Tennis Championship, which apparently is a thing,
I love that.
He makes new friends while learning and mastering the increasingly complex technique. So there's your synopsis.
And I love that, too, because every once in a while they remind you that this kid is, like, 12, and he's beating, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. But it's just like, they start him off at a pretty high level, so by the time he gets to episode, you know, 42 or whatever it was, I don't know what he must be like. The tennis balls must just burst into flames and, like, you know, create sonic booms by this point, because what else can he do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know we watched the first three episodes, but in the first three episodes, I think they mentioned that he was in seventh grade probably, you know, 40 times?
40 times, yeah, like, just to let you know.
It was like every other sentence, so. But yeah, Dave, I totally agree with you. Like by the end of the series, like he must just be like crushing every single professional player out there.
Well, look, and we were talking about this offline too. So now's a good time. We can kind of talk briefly about this, the series intro, the intro sequence. And Matt brought up a good point that even though the series is kind of, it's kind of not dull. It's just dull relative to the other animes that are out there that are all insane, that everything supernatural happens to you or very heavy on the sci-fi or mecha or whatever. This is all just like very pared down. It's just about a kid who's really, really good at tennis, but eventually some of the kind of power-up, kind of the stereotypical anime stuff does kind of come in. And I think, Matt, you mentioned that there were a couple sequences in the intro that kind of flashed to that.
Yeah, there were a couple like power-up sequence, sort of the, you know, swirling cyclone around somebody as they prepare to crush a serve.
Super Saiyan pretty quickly.
Yeah, a lot of these stationary characters scrolling background as they, like, scream at their opponents. So, very, very kitschy, you know, sort of standard early 2000s anime stuff.
Yeah, Sean, did you pick up anything like that from the intro? I mean, this is one of those kind of intros where they just show a bunch of, like, random clips throughout. It seems like the entire season, not just the episode.
Yeah. Other than some sweet guitar licks and people just, you know, going Super Saiyan, no. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. You're like, oh, they're here to play tennis. Cool. This is all this is going to be, which is perfect.
Yeah, it actually was surprisingly, I guess refreshing is probably a good word because, again, coming into this, like we talked to you guys about it last week, neither Sean nor myself had seen it. Matt, had you seen this before? Had you even heard of this one before?
I have only heard of the manga, but I had never read it.
Okay, so
because to be honest with you, like a tennis manga,
so this was brand new for all three of us.
Yeah,
and I had no clue what I was expecting, to be honest with you. Other than a brief bit of research when we were trying to put together our sports episodes for this month, I was just kind of like, oh, tennis, that's interesting. You don't see a cartoon about tennis every day. So this one got added to our list, had no clue what to expect, and was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't just crazy, over-the-top, kill-la-kill style, you know, one-on-one action sports stuff. It was actually, it was kind of more about the skill, and it was more about, it was definitely this one kid's story, Ryoma's story, of him kind of climbing the ranks to be the best tennis player ever. In frickin' middle school, that's the part that always drives me crazy, right? Is they keep coming back to the fact that he's just a middle school player, so.
Well, Dave, you did make the comparison to Kill la Kill, yeah, and how crazy, how wonderfully crazy, right, that show is. You know, the only bummer with this is that there's not going to be Kill la Kill sexy style cosplay that comes out of this Prince of Tennis. So that was the one thing I was just like, oh, there's going to be no sexy cosplay from this. All right, I'm still on board.
You know,
I got
to wonder, in those 40 episodes or definitely in the new series, like, are there more just like
provocative
tennis girls just running around? Because yes, I would imagine there had to be. Well, if the show was being made this day and age.
Well, this will be the point in time that I need to ask this question.
Here we go.
So we've talked a little bit about, so we haven't gotten into the characters yet,
right,
which is almost inconsequential about the statement I'm about to make.
Okay.
And we've talked about the title sequence. Did you guys pick up on the fact that any female character, anytime they gasped while they were watching tennis, I watched the dub version. In this dub version, it sounded overtly sexual.
Everything
and
does
I,
for
and,
you,
and
though,
I,
to
and
be
I
fair.
No, I'm serious. I watched it, and then I watched the same part again, and I closed my eyes, and I was just like, oh no, this is an orgasm. Like, this is not somebody gasping at tennis.
I mean, say this, these girls are really into the tennis players. You have to remember that this school is like specifically dedicated to, you know, creating and supporting and developing the best tennis players.
No
in middle
other
school
academics,
in Tokyo.
Just
tennis. Everything's related to tennis.
Sean, you know what it really reminded me of was Real Bout High School.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can see that.
Like, exact same sort of plot. Like, animation style was like, on Real Bout High School was kind of, you know, not overtly sexual so much as like obviously sexual, borderline
it was
pornographic,
blatantly sexual.
Yeah, but you know, I have to say that I watched the dub version too, and I was like, that's a little uncomfortable. but
this one wasn't anything like that, at least to start with. It wasn't. You know, it did have some of the kind of stereotypical things that you see in the Japanese animes. Yes, you will have those problems with kind of the English dubbing over the original Japanese voice cast and things like that. And it did have some of the moments, like, you know, the little teardrop thing forming when a girl gets kind of like shunned by the object of her affection and all those kinds of things. But man, it was nowhere near as over the top or explicit or crazy as some of the stuff that we watch today is. So it was actually kind of nice. It was almost like watching a sports drama. Sometimes it even felt like I was watching a sports video game. Like, I felt like I was watching somebody just play a game, a tennis game that they had a
narrative.
Somebody
just playing Wii Sports?
Yeah, just playing Wii Sports with just like better animation. It was just, it's strange. And we can talk about the episodes in a second, but what's that?
Wii Sports with a plot.
Yeah, that's basically what it felt like, especially because the three episodes that we watched, and I think Sean got a bonus one in, but the three episodes we watched were all, like Matt said, they're kind of rinse and repeat. They have the same plot that happens. You're introduced to an opponent at the beginning of the episode. It's an obstacle that Ryoma has to overcome. He does it fairly easily, and then just moves on to the next episode, and you do that over and over again. So I'm assuming at some point the narrative of this kind of picks up, if it's as popular as it is, so. But we didn't quite see it.
Well, I mean, I think that that's what makes this interesting and what makes me want to continue to watch this show is that they started the stakes so high where he is a tennis prodigy. In the four episodes that I watched, he begins to just pretty much systematically just take everybody down at this school. And it is, I like you said, Dave, I'm wondering what room they've given the character to grow. I mean, I'm sure that there are new or different tennis, you know, skills and techniques for him to learn along the way, but I mean, he's crushing everybody left and right. It seems like nobody's a real challenge to him.
Yeah, I do know that the show goes on, that this school does compete against other schools. So at this point, right, he's just kind of competing. He's the new kid in school, but he's got a pedigree, which we'll kind of talk about in a second here, that everybody knows his name, or knows the name of his dad at least. So
right,
once they know who he is, he's kind of got a bullseye. He's got a target on his back. So it gets a little harder for him once people actually know who he is. But then once he actually becomes a member of the team and he starts to make the people around him better, then they have to function as a team against these other schools. So I'm assuming that he's challenged a bit more by, like, you know, the primo players from these other schools kind of around the world. And at some point, you know, he's developing his own stuff too. So I'm sure he's got like power moves, and he's got like these super special crazy name moves that he's got that he only pulls out once a match if he really is in dire straits and stuff like that. That is more of the kind of typical one-on-one anime stuff that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, unlike pulling out that kick serve every...
Kick serve and a beauty, yeah.
Every single serve, it was ridiculous.
Okay, so the first three episodes, though, he does have some cool moves that we kind of get like an introduction to, especially if no one's ever seen or played tennis before. They look kind of cool, but in comparison to any other anime you've ever watched, like, they just pale in comparison, because they're not the Kamehameha wave, they're not, you know, these massively powerful attacks, because they're not trying to kill each other, they're just trying to play a game and win the match. So it's a different kind of feel that you have to kind of get used to, but we've talked about Ryoma a lot here. Matt, what was your kind of first impression of this kid when he kind of comes on the scene?
You know, really, it was honestly kind of like the prototypical anime character, sort of like the super reserved, you know,
too cool for school,
sort of, exactly, like, you know, he certainly was aware of his tennis skills, and he was very you know, socially reserved, whereas like the players who were, you know, maybe only slightly less than his skill were much more brazen than him. But I mean, it was really, you know, his character was so relatable to so many other anime series, but in the same way, it was a little refreshing to me, just because there wasn't that whole supernatural power or, right, you know, 45 episode arc power up sequence like in
exactly
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was a really relatable character, because there wasn't really anything, I'll say, special about him other than a really good tennis talent. So
yeah, I also like that this world kind of exists, at least the small world of the school. There's only two types of people who exist: tennis jerks and tennis idiots. And you kind of have to fall into one of those
yeah
two things. You're either really good, but you're a dick, or you're really bad, but just want to get better.
You just got to remind him you still have a way to go.
Yeah, he's a dick too. He really is. He's a jerk. He's
real
good.
Yeah,
he
really is. I love him, but he was such an asshole.
Yeah, what was your kind of reaction to him throughout the episodes that you watched, Sean?
I just, you know, he continually just shunned or forgot about people or didn't engage. There was a moment where I was like, oh, is he autistic? Does he fall into the spectrum?
Yeah.
Well, let's get into that, though, too, because honestly, I think, and I don't know if they develop it, but my take on it was, here's a kid who's 12. He
right
is already known as kind of the next, he's a prodigy.
Samurai Junior.
He's known as Samurai Junior because his dad was famous. He retired at such a young age that he could have just like swept the competition for years, but he just wanted to retire for reasons that we don't really find out yet.
Right.
But to me, that was like, and we get glimpses of his dad, just very brief ones early on. To me,
and his dad is a straight up pervert.
He is. But
is
he's the anime
awesome
pervert. He's like the Master Roshi. He's the
yes
old kind of perverted guy who's just kind of hanging
so
out
he
with
sees
the girls.
He sees like a bra and blood starts like profusely firing out of his nose.
Yeah, and he's just
no,
rocking,
you know,
off.
Actually,
it wasn't even that bad though. It wasn't even that kind of animation. Yeah.
I will say, thankfully, you know, for those reactionary moments in anime where somebody sees, you know, a glimpse of like a butt or a side boob, mm-hmm, and then they get the bloody nose and they flip
they
out
fly
and
out into
freak out
outer space. Yeah,
yeah. This thankfully was a little bit more grounded.
Oh, way more toned down.
And it was I loved that, because, you know, I enjoy those moments where you see people, you know, and like Naruto comes to mind, like where Kakashi is always looking at, you know,
What is the name?
Like
of that?
A, you know, like some type of some serial that the pervy sage writes
right.
that is you know, all about like women and relationships and stuff like that, and you know, or you know, and people seem to react in a certain way, or even when Naruto does his like sexy jutsu and people flip out and fly across the room, and you know, none of that happened in this. Like it was
no, there's none of that hyperbolic reaction stuff. You just kind of you get maybe like a raised eyebrow, and that's about it.
Yeah, and I think that that to me, I was like, okay, well, they're not trying to make this. Maybe like a they're not trying to fall into like a stereotype that exists about people. They're like, hey, look, like being a pervert exists. Being a creep is a normal thing. Like, look, if you want to look at adult material because you know what, you're an adult. And so he is, and he looks at it, and he, you know, we're introduced to the father where he's just like, oh, I thought I had a tennis match today. And he's like, ah, nobody shows up. Guess I'm going to take a nap. I'm like, oh, I can relate to that.
Totally.
I do that most days anyway.
And this is, Nanjiro Echizen, which is Ryoma's dad, known as Samurai. And we get a little bit of a flashback from him playing. But to kind of go back to my point about Ryoma's kind of his distance from other people, his isolation, I took that as a sign of, like, here's this prodigy. This is all he's done since he was pretty much born, is just play tennis and get better at tennis every day of his life. So any other skills that he has, social skills, romance skills, any of that other stuff is gone. Like, there's nothing. He's just a tennis player.
I think based on what we said earlier, you know, about being able to develop this story for him and to really further understand what Etchison's going to go through, I think those social skills or those romantic social skills, like that hopefully is one direction they can take the show in to be able to kind of further evolve his character. Because if he's playing on a team, you know, not only is it going to be important for him to win matches, but it's also going to be important for his teammates to win. And if he's not supporting them, I don't want to say that that's rude, but it is.
Well, it also
doesn't
jive with the Japanese kind of model of society either. You know, it should all be a team effort.
Right.
You should do well on your own, but it should help the team overall.
Correct. You
know? So that would make sense. So off of the sort of the romantic angle that we were just talking about, we are introduced to another character. Her name is Sakuna Ryozaki. And we're actually introduced to her fairly on. She's on one of the trains with some of the other older tennis players who kind of are getting pretty rowdy. She thinks they're trying to hit her with their racket on purpose, but it seems like they just don't even know that she's there. She just kind of drifts into the background most times.
Yeah, she's sort of a ghost in the background for most of this. And even Etchison doesn't
He meets
recognize...
her like two or three times and completely forgets who she is.
Yeah, he only, I think it was the end of like the second or the third episode, is he just like, oh, it's that lady.
Well, it was interesting the way they did it, because she, you know, so Sakuna is there with her other friend from school, and they're just watching the tennis match, and they're having these orgasmic gasps, as Sean mentioned.
Well, let me pause and just, I'm just gonna further expound on this. These gasps are like very short winded, like
I don't need that.
Like nonstop, all the time. Anything that something happens, it cuts to like a woman. Even if she's like closing a car door, like the one journalist that we're introduced to at one point, and she's just like, ah, oh. I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, you closed a car door, settle the fuck down.
It's a very heightened existence in this tennis world. Just ready to go at a moment's notice.
She's on the train. She's going to get hit by a tennis racket.
Yeah, whether they mean to or not, that's the thing. It's like, I don't even think they notice her. She's just kind of in the background.
No, there was no intent.
Well, basically, that's kind of their meet cute. But only for Sakuna, because Ryoma, he basically schools the older tennis kid and is just like, you're holding your racket all wrong, dummy. Kind of like, you got a lot to learn. And then they just kind of leave. But she sees this as him stepping in to save her from almost getting hit in the face with a tennis racket. He doesn't even know that she's there. Neither do the other guys. So she just kind of like exists in their wake. Like, they don't even know that she's there. There's a moment later where she's watching a tennis match with her friend. And at the end of the match, which of course Ryoma wins, she kind of introduces her friend to him, and then he kind of looks at her and he's like, have we met? And she does, this is one of the few things where they actually have that like exaggerated reaction where she just kind of like, the background behind her just goes completely dark and she basically just looks like she's in a moment of despair because he doesn't remember her. What I thought was interesting was they cut back to his dad saying something about like, where's my idiot kid? Maybe he found a girlfriend. and then it cuts back to Ryoma on the way home, he kind of gets this moment where he sees her face in his memory, and he's like, oh, I did meet her before. So to me, that kind of suggests that, yes, they are going to have a romantic relationship that carries on throughout the rest of the series. He just has to learn how to figure that out. Yeah.
And Dave, there was like a temple bell that rings in the background, and it chimes, and he's like, oh, I did meet her.
Yeah, it's like, ding. Oh, I totally did meet her.
Oh, God.
So it was well done. I mean, it edited really well together. The show, overall, I think the production quality was really good. I mean, this was only, you know, the early 2000s, so it should be good.
Right.
But you never know. With some of the stuff that we watch, it could be real wacky. But I think this one was pretty good. Do you guys have anything else for the characters? Any other ones you want to throw in there? I mean, like we said, it's kind of a rinse and repeat for the guys he goes up against. Obviously, they are members of the school, and they are members of the team. So once he beats them, they're not, like, dead. You know, they don't just go to a graveyard somewhere. Like, they're still at the school, and they still have to cooperate together and form a team. So,
yeah.
You know, it was the guys he went up against were, in my opinion, kind of like the Japanese idea of what a white guy stereotype is.
Yeah.
Like, their hairstyles, like, the way they, like, really kind of, like, conducted themselves, and I mean that in, like, a physical sense, was really kind of, like, very white guy, whereas, like, you know, Ryoma was, like, very kind of reserved. He was, like, often much shorter than them, so, you know, he was, like, a much more docile character.
Yeah, I mean, still a beast on the tennis court, though, but just very reserved in the way he carries himself. He wasn't nice, but he wasn't brash. He wasn't bragging. He wasn't boasting and doing it in a loud kind of look at me, attention-grabbing manner. But he kind of is that divide between these older tennis jerks and these younger tennis idiots. And he eventually comes across all of them. But there's some kids that are just kind of like, they're hanging out by the tennis courts. They're watching the older guys play. The older guys have basically already picked their teams, but the kids are kind of hanging around looking for scraps, and they're just like, well, they're not going to let us try out for the team today, but we just thought we'd hang around and pick up some balls. I'm just like, all right, guys, it's probably just in your best interest to just go home and try again next year.
Join the chess club.
Yeah, exactly. Something else. Yeah, go to a different school.
Oddly enough, because you made the... Matt, you just made the reference to, like, chess club. I thought of this more as, like a karate school. It was, like, these people seem like they were the Karate Kid-style Cobra Kai group.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I'm like, we're just going to intimidate the shit out of you, and then you're just like, I'm going to sweep the leg with this serve.
I'm going to crane kick you right in the mouth.
Yeah. Crane kick you?
Craig kick. It's very specific.
Oh, crane
I said
kick.
Crane, but I'll go with Craig.
It's like a crane kick,
like
but you learn it on the
ancient
streets.
Martial arts move with the Craig kick.
Oh, God damn it, Craig. Why'd you Craig kick me?
That's what I do.
Part of my name. That's what I do.
Craig kick.
Do we want to get into these episodes?
I mean, yeah, we can kind of talk about the other characters that pop up as we go, because you pretty much just swap the hair color out and the name, and it's the same person. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask this important question as we delve into these episodes.
Yeah, and we're at about the halfway mark now, though, too, so now's a good time to get into some episodes.
Okay. So if you are playing tennis and you are going to a tennis match in order to play.
Mm-hmm. With you so far.
And yeah, thank you. And you don't want to like fault on your match. Wouldn't it be in your best interest to maybe get directions in advance to find out where the tennis courts are located?
I mean, you could say that, or you just think like, hey, I'll ask somebody that's there because they'll obviously know everything about this place, right?
And I originally thought like, oh, well, this is a fluke. And then it popped up again in the second episode. And I was like, is this? And it didn't happen in episode 3 or 4. But I was curious, like, is this a... I wonder if this is a reoccurring theme where people just don't know where the tennis courts
where
are.
Where anything is at a tennis school.
Right. Tennis courts are pretty fucking obvious. Like, when you see them, you're just like, yeah, it's absolutely a tennis court.
You can hear
them.
If you go to a school dedicated to tennis and only tennis, you should probably fucking know where they are.
If you're looking to, well, you know, I majored in tennis when I was attending San Francisco City
Very
College.
Nice.
And so, you know, like when you walk on campus, you're just like, oh, I know where everything is. It was surprising to me that for being somebody so focused on the game that they would be so neglectful regarding.
Well, now here's my question then. I mean, I know you're kind of joshing, but I'll take this somewhat seriously.
Yeah, yeah. because San Francisco City College, I can guarantee you, does not have a tennis program.
Oh, you don't have a tennis program anymore? That's unfortunate.
Well, I did it. I did a distance
learning. Distance learning and yeah, tennis. Just playing virtual tennis online.
It's me in front of a webcam just working on my
watching this series.
My backhand.
You watched tennis on TV and just registered the credits afterward.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I love watching tennis on TV.
No, I'm a fan of it too. It's a guilty surprisingly pleasure good, which is why I think I enjoyed this series as well too, because it was different. I didn't quite feel that dramatic tension because you just knew this kid was going to destroy his opponents, but it was, you know, it was kind of nice to be able to watch it in an animated version. But okay, so basically what Sean was talking about, Ryoma shows up and he's supposed to have these matches, but he defaults on them if he doesn't show up on time, which makes sense. And he does this multiple times. But he doesn't seem that pissed about it, because like Baron said, this kid is like super reserved, he's too cool for school, he's too cool to even care. So he would rather just kind of do these little like weird tennis pickup matches where he has to teach these bullies a lesson, rather than actually just go through the normal channels and actually just work his way up legitimately. So he's kind of got that like rebellious streak to him a little bit, which was interesting, but also just kind of odd in a narrative sense too, because it's just kind of like, well, how are you going to go anywhere if you're not actually in official matches?
I almost wanted you to be like, Etchison's the bad boy at tennis.
The who? Oh, the bad boy at tennis.
He's the bad boy.
I think John McEnroe's got that already. So
John McEnroe's got that.
Oh, come on! You cannot be serious.
Yeah, that's a great McEnroe.
What it wasn't. It's not Federer.
No, definitely not Federer.
And those are the two tennis names I know.
Pete Sampras.
Oh, really?
Pete Sampras. Oh, wait, Agassi. Andre Agassi. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Williams sisters.
I don't pay any attention to that shit. So.
I would like to see Ryoma versus.
Fucking done with
this. I want to see Ryoma versus Serena Williams. Would be a fantastic.
Oh man.
Speaking of orgasmic grunts and stuff, I mean, maybe they were just making fun of tennis at that point. Because I mean.
Nah, she's. Either the Williams sisters, they are champions through and fucking
absolutely,
through.
Absolutely, but
and that
I cannot.
Is...
I gotta mute the games when I'm watching them because between them and Sharapova, I can't. It just drills into my brain. I can't enjoy it. Just screaming at each other over and over again.
Wow. I love it. It's like watching two warriors just fucking.
Yeah, exactly. No, you could have just stopped right there. It's like just watching two warriors fucking, because that's what it sounds like. Anyway, back to the Prince of Tennis. Okay, so.
Back to the bad boys of tennis.
So we've already got the meet cute. We've got him showing up late for the match and just kind of like dozing on the lawn and then pretty much blaming the girl for his missing the match.
Did you write down the line?
I didn't.
Or did you know what the. I did. This is the best. And she just goes, it's my fault. And she goes, I feel like this is my fault. And she goes, and Etchison just goes, it is your fault. It's your double fault.
Oh, that's right. That was the,
I know.
That was the
first
pun.
I was
pun.
Like, oh my
just
God.
Just shut it down.
Double fault. Come on, guys. You're better than this.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
This should have been at this point. Okay. So now we get to that first match. So it's Ryoma versus, I don't even remember the guy's name, just some tennis jerk, right? He thinks he's older. Sure. He's like 16, 17, whatever.
He's playing in the boys' 16, and he is and Etchison is obviously a 12-year-old
who just showed up out of nowhere.
Like, yeah, just showed up.
So they're gonna have this match. Obviously, the older guy, he's got his Cobra Kai buddies over there. They think they're just gonna wipe the floor with this kid, and they'll be done with it. It'll be done quick. And it's before their actual matches too.
Right, and these are the kids that were on the subway.
Yeah, same kids.
Yeah, same kids.
So they basically go in to have this match. Now at this point, where the hell does the grandmother come from? Did she just come from off screen, just out of nowhere?
Well, it's the girl's grandmother, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's just like, oh, hey, grandmother, I'm here to meet you at this agreed upon time and place. Yeah.
Right.
So grandma shows up for no reason other than to explain the game of tennis and what is happening on the court to her idiot granddaughter, who is one of the tennis idiots.
Which is funny, the granddaughter is like, I really like tennis, but I'm not good at it. I'm like, well, okay, I like a lot of things that I'm not good at.
You can still understand how they function.
Yeah.
And how the rules work.
Understand.
I mean, she's obviously the in-between for the audience, but it's done in such a ham-fisted way that it's just funny. Because they will cut. They literally cut. I mean, there's not a lot of action that goes on here because they're just, you know, hitting a tennis ball back and forth. And the way that they try to edit it and shoot it to make it look, like, really kind of dynamic sometimes works and sometimes doesn't because there's not a whole lot you can do. So
right.
Then when something happens and you don't really know what just happened, they'll cut to the grandma and she'll just be like, oh, no, he's up love 15, he's up 15 love or whatever. And she'll just explain the point that just happened or the type of serve that he just hit or why the tennis ball hit the other guy in the face when he wasn't expecting it.
Right. So the scenario that occurs where the grandma really interjects is between Etchison and this Cobra Kai tennis guy.
Let's just call him that.
Cobra Kai tennis guy and Etchison have decided that they are going to play, that they are not going to take a line judge, which is somebody who, you know, determines whether or not, you know, the ball, like the tennis ball is out or there's a fault on a serve.
Exactly.
And so they decide that what they're going to do is that they're going to call their own faults. Right. And that's a tricky play because, as you find out, Cobra Kai guy does it in a deceitful, dickheadish way. Because
he's getting beat. And he's getting beat by this 12-year-old kid, so he's starting to cheat.
Getting his ass handed to him. And so Etchison decides to show him a lesson and just prove exactly how good and how skilled
he is. Well, hold on. Isn't this right after the other guy kind of loses his temper, too? Or is that not yet?
A little bit. I think that's
basically good. So like so Etchison is like, he's short, so he doesn't have the wingspan. So the other guy thinks, okay, if I cheat up to the net, there's no way he can hit stuff past me. At which point he just starts lobbing shit over his head and just like plunking it on the lines or in the corners behind him. So, you know, he's playing as an actual tennis player would play.
Yeah,
so,
it seemed like there were a lot of opportunities where certain players were like, I'm just going to charge the net. And since he's such a young kid and he's not powerful enough. Tennis is a challenging sport because you're not hitting with your arm. You're pivoting with your entire body.
Yeah. Well, there's also like there's placement, there's spin, there's the amount of power you want to put into it. All kinds of stuff that goes on. So obviously this kid is like a pro at this. Well, the older guy,
like I equate it to like the idea of like if you watch boxing and you're just like, oh, they're just like throwing punches and that's it. You're like, no, they're punching with their entire body. Like they're twisting and pivoting. Like this is more complicated than them just like willy nilly spaghetti arm throwing punches, like, you know, at their opponent. Like this is a much more complicated sport than what it appears.
Guys, Sean knows what he's talking about. I did get Craig kicked by him once, and it was fucking awful. So
that's
really
like the
knows.
Two sports that I actually really enjoy: Craig are boxing kicking and tennis.
Oh, okay.
And karate kidding.
Karate kidding.
A lot of karate kidding.
So at this point, Cobra Kai tennis guy gets pissed because he's getting his ass handed to him by this little kid. And he kind of feigns going up for a shot, but instead he just, and I couldn't quite tell what happened, but he basically just clubs Etchison in the face with his tennis racket.
Yeah.
He comes down across the net and just clubs him across the face.
So Etchison tries to lob one over his head behind him. And so Cobra Kai guy jumps up to try to knock it down. And so instead, he realizes that he's not going to hit it, so he throws his racket, like, and it hits Etchison, like, square in the forehead.
There's a lot of blood that kind of gets exchanged here in this first episode. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Like, that's like that moment in any anime where, like, first blood's been drawn, and you're like, shit is about to get fucking real.
So then that's when the guy kind of calls, he says that Etchison's shot was out when it was clearly in. So, mm-hmm. Baron, do you remember what Etchison does next with his next serve? Since this guy's going to start calling all the shots out?
Yeah, doesn't he, and I might be missing a play in here, but he hits it so that it spins and, like, basically sits just on, like, before the line, but over his head?
Yeah, he defies all laws of physics.
Yeah.
And this ball no longer
like,
has any bounce
honestly,
whatsoever.
Honestly, when I saw that, I was like, what in the actual fuck was that?
That's like, the first
that
kind of like supernatural anime thing. Yeah.
That's fucking skill, bro.
That's tennis skill, bro.
Skill, bro.
That was great. So it just hits. So, you know, normally people play it off the bounce. So it just hits and sticks, and that's it. And it just sits there and spins. He's like, you going to call that one out too? Like a little dick.
Yeah.
So it only escalates kind of from there. At what point does Etchison kind of bring out his ace up his sleeve, shall we say? Does he do it at the end? Or does he do it before he actually defeats the guy?
I think he does it, like, towards the end, because he keeps using it. Are you talking about the kick?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, so he's been playing right-handed this entire time, and pretty much just handed it to this guy.
That was at the very end of that match, yeah.
So it was, like, the end after he was already done, or, like, the last serve was?
It was, like, the last serve, because that was right at the moment, like, he switches his hand, and then there's, like, a freeze frame with a plane that's flying behind him, and I was like, I have no, wait, what? Those two things did not sync up for me. I was so very curious how that was happening.
Yeah, at, like, this point, so Etchison just starts taking the hits to Cobra Kai tennis guy, because he's basically like, okay, if you're going to call all my shots out, then I'm just going to pelt you with tennis balls until you surrender. And that's basically what he does. And then when he's more or less won the match, the game, the match, and the set, he just says, like, I think the guy wants to play again. He's like, we'll do another set. I can keep playing. He's like, okay, I can keep playing too, but I'd like to, you know, I'm going to finish this a little faster than I would have liked. And he just switches hands. So now he's like, switches. So it cuts over to grandma, and she's like, oh, by the way, didn't you know, audience? He's left-handed, and you're just supposed to be like, what? So it's very much that that Princess Bride kind of moment where,
I would have been more like, what, if he took off his shoe and they were just like, don't you know, he plays with his
feet. Give him a couple episodes, that might happen.
Or, like, was it the guy in One Piece that carries the sword
in his teeth and his elbows and his shoulders and everywhere else? Yeah. That's the best.
He just carried a tennis, like, racket between, like, the back of his knee. He's like, don't you know? He only plays with his knees. Like, well, that's some shit that I'm not going to watch.
And we're done here.
And see.
But honestly, like, that is pretty much it for those first three episodes. Like, you swap out the Cobra Kai guy for somebody who has a little bit more of a rounded character or an interesting kind of side trait to him. You add in this random reporter. You pepper in some stuff about his dad. And then you see these other kids start to kind of come in, the tennis idiots who are younger, and they start to kind of grow up with him. One of them has 2 years of experience, so you gotta watch out.
Wait,
for him.
Hold on. Was this his name was like Horio?
Yeah.
Horio. Terrible name. I was curious. Did he play tennis for 2 years at tennis?
You know, he's been playing tennis for 2 years, so he knows a thing or two.
Huh. Played tennis for 2 years. Hey Baron. He played tennis for 2 years, right?
I'm pretty sure that he played tennis for 2 years.
Yeah, he had 2 years. Dave, he had 2 years worth of tennis playing.
2 years of experience playing tennis prior to coming and being a seventh grader.
Yeah, for the 2 years
like
before he came there, he was playing tennis for those 2 years.
You guys are both telling me 2 years.
So if you're irritated with us by this point, then you know how we felt watching the show, because this kid, not only every time he opens his mouth, he has a comment about, like, oh, he just made a kick serve, and I know because I've got 2 years of tennis experience. He even has the interstitials, or like the end of the episode that introduces the next episode, where he says that over and over again. And the first couple of times it was funny, but I could imagine more episodes of that, and that would get really irritating real fast.
He went from being relatable or cute with the first time to being annoying as shit in one episode.
Yeah, he was pretty much that kid.
Yeah. And he continues to. It seemed like he continued to have a relationship with Etchison where he wanted him to win and sort of show that, like, a seventh grader could be as good
it was like
as
their proxy.
What they, the yeah, right, as quote unquote, like, the regulars, who the regular players who are on this tennis team. And so, but at the same time, I mean, I know, like, in episode 4, he makes a couple comments about how he's not going to beat this other player, or how he's no match for the regulars. And, like, and you turn, like, and the camera pans back a little bit, and Etchison's standing right there and is like, I don't give a shit. You can say whatever you fucking want. Like, I'm still going to win every match. Like, I don't care what you
I'll
have to say.
Put this on my shoulders.
And yeah, exactly. It's very interesting. He kind of, I felt like he flip-flopped back
and
forth a little
bit.
Well,
look, I'll say this. So when we first kind of meet all the younger kids and they're trying to get a spot on the regular squad, the two of the older regulars are playing this kind of mean game And they're saying, oh yeah, you guys come on in. We got a special, you know, welcoming ritual. It's a little game that we play. We're going to put this canister of tennis balls over here on the opposite side of the court in the corner. And if you hit it in one of 10 serves, you get 10 tries. If you hit it, you can win 10,000 yen.
And this was not the sexy kind of hazing that I was hoping was going to happen. No,
it was
not sexy hazing.
Nah. It was just rote, kind of like repetitive. They try to hit a tennis ball out of a can of tennis balls, and it does not work. Hazing.
Between and then basically the orgasmic door closing and the sexy tennis hazing, like, what were you going for in this episode?
No, it's weird, because the older tennis player at one, like, this older male tennis player.
Is that Momo
who
that
I guess
in?
Was a... Yeah, we, well, no, no, he was it was right before Momo comes in, and he, like, when they're playing this hazing tennis game, the older boy looks at Etchison and just goes, "We're not done, hot stuff."
Oh, yeah, he does call him hot stuff.
Whoa!
I was like, ooh, uncomfortable.
Ooh.
Hot stuff. Yes.
Spin that
in there.
Racket.
Tennis after dark.
Tennis. Yeah.
I would watch that show.
Let's watch that show.
Let's write that show.
Guys, it's in post-production at Deke right now.
Excellent. Deke, I'm looking forward to Tennis Cops. We do our second sports month. We're covering that shit.
So I guess...
our sports law enforcement.
The one thing I want to ask, just as kind of my final thought about these three episodes, is, and I know I've brought this up for the past couple weeks, but we continue to have these older kids who are cocky and who are, I want to say, they're antagonistic.
Yeah.
And they're bullying these kids to a certain extent. And there's even the line in episode 3 where he goes, "I gotta humiliate that kid and put him in his place."
Right.
So the question I have to ask is, what level of sportsmanship did either of you take away from this show? Because the challenge I had with this was Etchison himself is sort of a cocky prick.
Yeah, he's out for himself.
About everything that he's... Yeah, he's really out... Exactly. And so watching this, I was like, oh, in other shows, we've seen people that have been like, well, I'm here to like clean up the league and make everything good.
Right.
And the contrast is just like, well, I'm here to own everything and you guys play for me and I don't give a shit about your feelings. Get back out on the field. This was weird because this was the first time that instead of good versus evil, this is just like the dickheaded versus the more dickheaded at the moment.
See, but I think that's what made it kind of interesting, because it was more reflective of real life and real sports kind of drama. And yes, it was definitely heightened and cartoonish at times, but I feel like if we had a chance to watch more of it, you would have hopefully seen... I've been saying his name the entire night and it just blanked on me. Etchison. You would have hopefully seen him... you know, warm up to his fellow athletes and his friends a little bit more and kind of open up and help them, you know, help them to help him win things. And you would hopefully see the ones who acted as adversaries and antagonists, you would kind of hopefully see them gel as a team in order to take on other teams. So I don't think we got to see any real level of sportsmanship because everybody was a dick. but I'm hoping that was part of the story that kind of came along over the course of the show. So if anybody out there is a big fan of The Prince of Tennis and you kind of know where the storyline goes from there, feel free to drop us a line and let us know.
I'm going to keep watching and I want to know that this pays off at some point, like that he is not as much of a douche as he is initially perceived.
And look, I think it has to. It either has to go completely zany crazy or it has to actually have a logical kind of run through it, because the Japanese folks still do enjoy it, so it's got to be one or the other.
If he draws like a blood seal on the tennis court and then like a giant fighting robot emerges from it,
just a giant suit of armor with a tennis racket.
And like his mother had died working on the robot, but the spirit of the robot, like she was, and they were just like, wow, this Neon Genesis tennis version.
Oh, I thought you were going for
Neon Tennis.
No.
Jokes.
or Dave, to go in your route, Full Metal Racket.
I like Full Metal Racket.
Full Metal Racket
that
would
is
work
good.
As well.
I like that a lot. Right. Full Metal Racket.
I would watch both of those shows.
We're gonna
shows.
Watch Tennis Cops leading into Full Metal Racket. That's amazing.
You know, actually, I mean, the first three episodes that the thing that I really noticed was that Etchison played. You know, I mean, yeah, he was an asshole, but you played a much more intellectual game, yeah. like a more reserved game,
yeah.
versus the guys who were like kind of the more brazen, hot shit guys who, you know, were really trying to show off. He's like, look, I know I'm really good at this. I don't have to go out there and like brag about it.
Right.
I'm going to be an asshole about it in other ways, but I'm also going to make you look like a dick.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's something that I definitely think we just got a kind of a taste of, and I'd like to go back and watch a little bit more of it and see how it progresses. But we're getting a little short on time, so we'll do one last round of final thoughts. Sean, did you have anything else from either that fourth episode you watched or the show in general?
No, I'm curious to keep watching. In the fourth episode, he is playing against one of the regulars finally.
Oh, okay.
Called the Viper, which is great because the character actually, for a majority of the episode, just actually hisses.
Wonderful.
So he
has a lisp?
He has a lisp.
Yeah, right?
Poor guy.
He just very lispily just goes... And you're like, I get it. He's a fucking Viper.
He's a snake guy.
But he's called a Viper because he has a longer reach?
Yeah, because snakes are known for their wingspan.
Yeah, yeah. They're known for their...
snakes are known for their
Wait,
reach
really?
Of their arms.
Really? I thought birds would be known for their wingspan. Not...
Yeah, snakes are known for their arms.
Yeah, their arms, just in general.
Wait, snakes are well known for their tennis playing capabilities. Mm-hmm. They are pretty clutch when it comes to tennis. No, yeah, I think my last thought about the, you know, just sportsmanship was my
okay.
final.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one, see if it actually develops. Matt, for the episodes that you got to watch, did you have any other final thoughts?
I'm not really a big sports cartoon guy, but this was pretty good, I have to say. I really liked the style of animation. It was fun to watch. I would definitely keep watching.
Cool. So on that note, do you recommend this to our listeners out there?
Absolutely. I would definitely check out the first three episodes. I mean, it's not kind of the super cheesy anime style. It's kind of toned down a little bit, but if you like anime, you're going to like it. If you don't like anime, you'll probably like it too. So.
Yeah, it's actually a good balance, I think. That's a good way to put it. Sean, how about you?
Yeah, definitely recommend this. I'm looking forward to watching some more episodes. I think when we're done recording this, I'm probably going to finish up my evening.
Cool, man.
Another hour
of tennis.
It was good.
That's a 3 for 3. I'd say check it out too. It's definitely, you know what? Here's a good way to look at it. If you've never watched anime before and you're freaked out by it and you don't like all the tentacles and robots and crazy stuff, check this out. Because it's a good kind
There's tentacles.
Well, maybe at some point there are, but if you're worried about tentacles, unlike Sean, if you're aroused by tentacles, you're probably already well into the anime. But if you are concerned that there are too many tentacles, I would check out Prince of Tennis. Or Tennis Goals. Yeah. Either one. I would check out Prince of Tennis.
I love the fact that you had to pause for a moment because you're like, I don't want to acknowledge what Matt just said. But I do want to acknowledge what Matt just said.
Full Metal Racket. That might be my favorite. I would say check it out. It's kind of like a gateway series maybe for you into anime. It's something that's a little more tame, but it gives you a bit of the flavor of what people look for in anime and why this one is so popular without being too crazy. So I'd say check it out. And like Sean said, you can check it out on Hulu, unbeknownst to me. So I will do that in the future as well. Let's see. What do you guys have coming up in the next couple of weeks? Baron, I'm going to go to you first because your list is usually a little shorter. What's new with you?
Very little. That's my whole list.
Oh, that's it.
Yep, that's it.
So, slightly less than little. You got nothing.
Yeah, I'm really
just gonna
have
be
to
playing
doing
some
something with my life.
Playing some tennis. Just start scripting Tennis Cops and
Full Metal Racket.
Yeah, Full Metal Racket fan fiction. I'm
oh my
on,
God.
Guys.
Please.
I'm on it right now.
Please
do it. I say that from the bottom of my heart.
I really want to watch that.
I just
want to
read it. And I want to see his little drawings in the margins. It'd be so cute. All right, Sean, what do you have coming up?
During the month of July, I'm going to be doing a bunch of shows for Washington Improv Theater. You can come and check this out. be performing on... I don't know why that was funny. Be Saturday, July 11th at 9:30 p.m. I'm pulling up these dates. It'll be the following... Was it the 18th at 9:30. It's the 25th at 9:30. And then I'm going to assume that it's then the 1st of August at 9:30 also. You can check out everything and more on witdc.org. And this is a part of Wit's upcoming run of shows that's called Wit Attacks. So check those out. It'll be a bunch of never before seen styles of shows that have been done in the DC area. So it'll be a lot.
Excellent.
Fun.
We'll have all that information up on the website, which is SaturdayMorningCartoons.com.
And I'm sorry, and Matt, where can I find you on Twitter and
there, but we'll
on,
do that
on the social
we'll
media?
At always, you can find me at Bag of Sandwiches.
That's what I want to do.
That's still a thing. If you want to change it to Full Metal Racket, I'm fine with that. But I really do like Bag of Sandwiches.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis. Dave, what do you got going on in the recently?
Well, actually, by the time you guys are hearing this, you may or may not have seen me at San Diego Comic-Con. It's from July 8th to the 12th.
What are you cosplaying as this year?
Probably just myself. I don't have the time to do that, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I will be repping SMC. So if you guys see or did already see me, perhaps I will give you or you have already received some SMC swag. If you're listening to this show and would like some stickers or buttons or some other cool stuff, just send us an email, let us know. We'll get you some fun promotional stuff that you guys can check out. So
that's right. We will send you in the mail
free stuff.
If you
they're awesome picture
if you comment. Yeah, if you comment on either my Instagram photos or you leave a comment on anything, we will send you free stuff.
Guys, tell me what you want. I will put our logo on pretty much anything I can conceivably put it on.
Whoa. Whatever you want within reason.
Whatever you want. Whatever you can, I can conceivably do. If you want our logo on a Tesla, I will do my best to do that. It will not happen, but I will try.
I will not buy you the Tesla, but I will put the logo on
Tesla. But I will find one and put our
purchase
sticker on it and then run away.
Hey, Dave. Dave, I'm a longtime listener, and I'd like to get some of your fingers.
That's fine. Do you want our logo on them? Should I get them tattooed first, wrapped in stickers?
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Oh,
okay, got it. Excellent. Thanks for calling, Carol. I will talk to you later.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's Carol, everybody.
Talk to you later.
Let's see. If you want to find out more about us.
And a seamless segue.
I kind of want to let Carol run through our contact information tonight.
Oh, man.
You feeling
well,
up to it? Your voice got a little smoother. It's funny how that...
Did it? Did it get a little smoother? I put a lozenge.
Oh, a lozenge. You got it together over there?
I'm sorry, I've got the giggles right now.
Do the Ricola song, but in that voice.
Oh, boy. So while these two are getting themselves together, you can find me on Twitter at DrClawMD. You can check us out on Twitter at MorningTunes. You can also follow us on our Tumblr page, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Remember, each and every time, that's morning with a U, friends. You can also download this podcast each and every week through Stitcher and iTunes. And please, if you do have the time and you do like the show, post a rating and review for us. It really does help out with the numbers, too. So, all good. I think that's pretty much it for this show. We will probably have another theme month coming up next week. We haven't had that quite locked down yet, so we will get back to you guys when we know. But until then, I'd like to thank Matt for joining us again. Sean, as always. You guys have any final thoughts, final words for the listeners out there?
I have a question for the both of you. If you guys had a special tennis skill or serve, what would it be, and what would you call it, and what would it accomplish on the tennis
I'm gonna
court?
Call mine the felt melter, and it's going to be
that is so fucking
felt
good.
Melter. Oh my God. And it's gonna be a flaming serve. It's my flaming serve.
It kills a Muppet immediately.
Yeah, just disperses into flames. Every time I use it, a Muppet dies somewhere.
Oh my God. Yep.
It's like the Prestige, but with Muppets.
Yeah, but with Muppets. And David Bowie's in a field somewhere just killing Muppets for
There's me. Just a warehouse full of Kermits and tanks.
Just shredded. Just melted foam rubber everywhere.
That is as good a place as any to end this.
Oh, man.
Does Matt have one or not? I gotta let him know.
I can't possibly follow that.
Okay, alright. Well, until next time, this has been Saturday Morning Cartoons. Peacing out with a felt melter. Thanks for listening.